from verse 12 down to verse 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life, only we have hope in Christ. We are to be pitied more than all men. And I ended on that note, not because that's where I'm going to end, but that's where I'm going to start and go back in that passage and talk about it. Because if Christ was raised, it's a whole different ballgame. It really is. And everything depends on what happened on Easter morning almost 2,000 years ago as far as this thing called Christianity. Christ's resurrection is a case of all or nothing. It's really all or nothing for all humanity. So if Christ was not raised, number one, gospel preaching is a waste of time. What I'm doing right now, it says our preaching is useless in verse 14. Louis Cassels was I hope I pronounced that name properly, but he was a religious editor for United Press International. You might have read some of his things in the past, and he's not that now. He's passed on, I believe. If you are irrevocably committed to the proposition that it would have been impossible for Christ to triumph over death, you may as well quit fiddling around the fringes of Christianity because, as Paul bluntly said, the whole thing stands or falls on the fact of the resurrection. Either it happened or it didn't. And if it didn't, Christianity is a gigantic fraud, and the sooner we are quit of it, the better. That's a pretty powerful statement, but he's only stating, again, what Paul said. And if that's true about Christianity, then it's also doubly true about standing up here and preaching about it, or you coming to a service and sitting here. It's crazy for you to do that if Christ was not raised. But if Christ is raised, if Christ was raised, if he is risen, then everyone should be flocking to the churches to hear about this message. We should be sending missionaries to those who have no hope to tell them about this hope. There's a story. This really happened. There were these kids who one of their teenagers had committed suicide. This was among the rural poor in Nevada, mostly out in the desert areas, and there were just no jobs and everybody on welfare and pretty dismal. And so these two groups of young people were asked a question: do you want to die? Because they were talking about the suicide. And almost half of the grade school kids and more than half of the teenagers in high school said, yes, I'm going to be done with this. Youth with no hope. And they need hope because this life is precious, and it's precious because of what Jesus did, and it's precious because that he's going to resurrect this life. And we should try to, if Christ is risen, then we should try to get as many people under the preaching of the good news of his resurrection, of his death and resurrection, so that they might also know this gospel, especially our loved ones. If Christ is not risen, number two, the Christian faith is a delusion. In verse 14, it also says, so is your faith. If our preaching is vain, and so is your faith, the faith that you've placed in this gospel. Saving faith in Christ is based on the resurrection. You look in I was thinking about there was a song we used to sing in Sunday school. Romans 10 and 9 is a favorite verse of mine, confessing Christ the Lord as it's written in God's Word, or something like that, you know. And I can't remember the rest of it because that was just when I was a little kid. And I don't remember singing it very often. But Romans 10 and 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, that's our salvation. But if it doesn't work, it's a delusion if Christ was not raised. But if He is raised, if He is risen, there's a much more serious delusion. And that is the delusion that people have. They hope that they won't have to give an account for their lives. That it'll just go to the grave and that'll be it. They won't have to give an account of their past sins. I just swept it under the carpet, and when I die, I don't care who's opened the carpet because I'll be dead and nobody will know anyway. So there was a lady in the 1800s in Hanover, Germany, and she was a noted unbeliever. And she didn't believe in the resurrection, and actually she opposed the doctrine of the resurrection so violently that she put it in her will that when she died, a certain thing would happen, and she died very early in life. She was only in her 30s when she died. And she ordered that her grave be lined with great blocks of stone and covered with a granite slab, and that these iron clamps would fit around the corners and fit over the top to the corners and the sides of the slab and be clamped down. And then this inscription was to be placed on that slab: "This burial place, purchased to all eternity, must never be opened. Must never be opened." Now, a little birch seed somehow got in there and in that grave area and started to grow. And its little root got in between one of those iron clamps and then under that slab. And eventually what happened, the growth of the root and the tree actually burst those clamps. And now that slab that had the inscription is on the trunk of a birch tree. You know, out of the ground on a birch tree. Probably that tree, by the time this illustration was given, is gone now because it's probably died too. But it's left that slab someplace else than on top of that grave. And anyone who dies like this, this lady in she was a countess in Hanover, Germany. Anyone who dies like that is literally dead wrong. You know, I'm sorry. I had to say that. If Christ is not risen, number three, the apostles were liars. The apostles were liars. They knew the truth, but they kept telling it. You know, found to be false witnesses is what it says in verse 15. Well, that means that the disciples, Christ's disciples, were not only fools, or liars, but they were fools. Because, you see, they went to death many times in persecution and torture. They went that way, and they could have said, "Wait, it's not really true. I have to tell you. I want to save my life. I want to save my skin. It's not really true. We actually stole the body," just like they said. Because, you see, they could have saved their necks. And there was a story going around that that the disciples had stolen the body, but that story was told by some the guards who were paid to tell it. But the apostles were not fools. They gave their lives because they knew it was the truth. And they knew that this life is going to be resurrected because of His resurrection. And the eyewitnesses of a resurrected Christ did not steal His body as the guards were paid to report. Edwin Markham, and you might have heard of him, he's, I think, a great compiler of poetry, but also a poet himself. Edwin Markham wrote a poem called "Guard at the Sepulchre," and this is some portions from that poem. "I was a Roman soldier in my prime. Now age is on me and the yoke of time. I saw your risen Christ, for I am he who reached the hyssop to Him on the tree. And I am one of two who watched beside the sepulchre of Him we crucified. Once on the pauses of our whispered talk, I heard a something on the garden walk Perhaps it was a crisp leaf lightly stirred, perhaps the dream note of a waking bird. Then suddenly an angel, burning white, came down with earthquake in the breaking light, and rolled the great stone from the sepulchre, mixing the morning with a scent of myrrh, and lo, the dead had risen with the day. The man of mystery had gone his way. Years have I wandered, carrying my shame. Now I let the tooth of time eat out my name, for we, who all the wonder might have told, kept silence, for our mouths were stopped with gold. I think Edwin Markham put it in their mouths the right way, maybe giving them a little bit of justification. But if Christ was not risen, number four, sin has conquered. Sin has not been defeated, it has conquered. You are still in your sins, it says in verse 17, if Christ is not risen. It's no good asking God, for Jesus' sake, forgive me, if Jesus never really paid for your sins and then was resurrected from the dead to show that they were really paid for and that they were really done away with. But if Christ is risen, then John the Baptist's prophecy was fulfilled. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus' resurrection is our guarantee that our sins are paid for and that we have been released from them. That's what the word forgiveness means. It means to be released. If Christ was not risen, number five, believers already departed have truly perished. Those who have gone on before us have truly perished. I just found out this week that Nell Alderberg has passed away. I didn't know that. Unfortunately, I don't find all those things out. I used to have people that used to call me and tell me, and then I would find out that way. But I usually find out in the mailroom, as you do, about that. If this is true, that Christ did not raise, then all that remains is a false hope of immortality, a fading hope of immortality. And we say fame. I don't know how many, is anybody in here famous? Well, there are some people who are famous who are still remembered. That's their immortality if there is no resurrection. Edgar Allan Poe, they made a monument to him in the Metropolitan Museum, and it's inscribed with these words: he was great in genius, unhappy in life, wretched in death, but in fame he is immortal. In fame he is immortal. Well, what does that matter to him if there is no true immortality, if there is no resurrection? Especially for someone who wrote poetry as tragic as he did. I was just quote from this in The Raven. And I have to say, I owe a lot to Edgar Allan Poe because he gave me my love for the rhyming of words, because he was very great at it. He was magnificent at it. But he just didn't have the right themes, that really help us. And The Raven is the first one I learned on. My dad helped me to learn it. I almost memorized the whole thing. But here it is, The Raven. Tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden, it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Nevermore. That's about death. He's talking about death. Lenore that died. Will he ever see her again? No, nevermore. Nevermore. But if Christ is risen, we have a solid resurrection hope of again seeing those who have departed before us, our lost loved ones who love the Lord and now are with Him. And we shall clasp them evermore. We shall hold them evermore. That's one thing I talk to people about resurrection, the difference between resurrection and reincarnation. Reincarnation, you lose it all. You never get back who you were. And the people you knew that have gone, your mother, father, you'll never see them again, ever. You'll never see them. You'll never, ever see their smiling face, because it will be somebody else's face. Someone you never knew, maybe. And you won't clasp them. when you get up there. But resurrection gives us the hope that is in our hearts. It's built into us. It's the hope that keeps people loving each other all through life. It's that I know this person, I love this person. And that person will be put back into their bodies and resurrected in bodies that won't look like ours, that are sort of losing hair and not doing well sometimes. But resurrected bodies like Christ's own body. If Christ is not raised, number six, then the last one too. Hope lies silent in the grave. That quote that I made is silly. You know, there is no hope for humanity. If only for this life, it says in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Why? Because we are believing in something that doesn't exist. Hope in a heavenly home is an empty dream if Christ is not gone to prepare a place for us. If he's gone to prepare a place for us, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But if he hasn't, he won't come again. There is no second coming. He won't do what he promised he would do. But if Christ is risen, then we have a sure hope. A hope that is more solid than anything in this world. You can put money in the bank and it can be gone in a crash of society in the next day. You can build a home on a beautiful foundation to last forever, and an earthquake or a fire could take it down. You can have all the assurance you want in anything in this life. It's not the sure hope that we have in the resurrection. It is so solid. And when we look back on it 10,000 years from now, in our bodies that will not be wearing out, but wonderful bodies that will continue to last for eternity with Christ, when we look back 10,000 years from now at this, we'll say, look how solid that hope was, and everything else we had hope in, it's all gone. But that hope is what we're standing on and living out right now, 10,000 years later. That's resurrection hope. We have an anchor. There's an old song. It's a We Have an Anchor. And I think we had it a couple times that we tried to sing it here. It's got an old tune to it. And you may know some of the tunes, but I don't even know the tune right now myself. But and we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm going to read something from that. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We have that anchor. We have that hope that stands sure, not just in this life, but we have it because it reaches a firm grip into heaven itself, where Christ is right now, the resurrected Christ, because Christ is risen. Sort of to sum up this sermon, there's a poem that I wanted to read from a man named Henry H. Barstow. It's called If Easter Be Not True. If Easter be not true, then all the lilies must lie low, the Flanders poppies fade and die, the spring must lose her fairest bloom, for Christ were still within the tomb, if Easter not be true. If Easter not be true, then faith must mount on broken wing, then hope no more immortal spring, then love must lose her mighty urge, life prove a phantom, death a dirge, if Easter be not true. If Easter be not true, 'twere foolish the cross to bear. He died in vain who suffered there. What matter though we laugh or cry, be good or evil, live or die, if Easter not be true? If Easter not be true, but true is Easter, and Christ is risen. The mortal spirit from its prison of death and sin with him may rise, worthwhile the struggle, sure the prize, since Easter, is true. Christ's resurrection is a case of all or nothing for all humanity. this is a very, very important day. If he did not rise, this sermon is useless. This sermon means nothing at all. You might as well not have come if Christ is not risen. And if he is, and I believe he is, and there is, like Terry said, so much evidence that he is, and the evidence is that he lives. He lives in our hearts too. We know him. We've met him. And if you go around the world and meet someone in China or meet someone in Russia, they have the same kinds of testimonies you do in answers to prayer and in the walk that they have with Christ and in the Holy Spirit's influence on their lives. It's almost like you know him immediately when you meet those kinds of people. Why? Because he's made us one body. He's resurrected us from a life of sin. And he's made us to be children of the kingdom. And we know our brothers and sisters just like that sometimes, just like that. If he is risen, then God calls everyone, all humanity, to make him their personal Savior and their Lord. And that is the Easter message that we need to carry throughout the Easter season wherever we go. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you, Lord, for this passage that is a reality check. It really helps us to see. Paul was not beating around the bush. He showed everything out front. If Christ be not risen, none of these things that we hold on to or think about or are happy about are true. But if he is, it makes a world of difference. And it makes a difference in the world. Father God, help us to be bearers of the message of the resurrection, the Easter message, the message of hope for all humanity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.